Sprint Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifieds, World of Outlaws, Arcas, all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, fame, short tracks. All the way to the high-banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good evening, everyone, and happy Easter, one and all. I hope you had a great day, hope you had a great weekend, and hope you're ready to talk some racing for the next 2 hours here live tonight on Racetime Radio. Welcome aboard. I'm Joe Chisholm along with Joe Chisholm Jr. here in the Racetime Radio studio. And Jr., we're back on Sirius XM. We got preempted there for like 3 weeks, but man, we're back full tilt.
Did you miss us?
Yeah.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
Hanging out and, you know, a happy Easter to everybody that's listening. And I know we got to dive into a little bit of turkey and had some good family time before the show here. So hopefully, you know, everybody out there listening is having a nice weekend. And yeah, there's lots of racing this weekend, just not on the NASCAR side.
Yeah,
but there was quite a bit of racing down south, and lots of Canadian involvement as well.
Yeah, we'll have to take a look and see how Nicholas Noggle made out. I reached out to him yesterday to see if we could get him on tonight. Didn't hear back from him, but we do have a stellar guest lineup here tonight.
Absolutely. To kind of kick off the show, we got to give a shout-out to JP from over at Peterborough. He finished 12th in the Easter Bunny 150 at Hickory.
Good for him.
You know, along with Lonnie Somerville, he was down there as well, and he was down at Hickory for the big show, and, you know, he finished up in 16th. And then as well, Nicholas Noggle didn't have the outing that he wanted to have, but he ended up coming home in the 19th spot. So lots of Canadian involvement down at Hickory. And yeah, congrats to each of them.
How about JP? Man, you know, he's been going down there a couple years now and trying to get some racing in before the season fires up at Peterborough. He's the owner of Peterborough Speedway and tries to get some racing in there. And at the end of the year, JP will load up that 24 car and head down. Those guys do a great job, and it looks like he's starting to get some results now. That's cool.
Yeah, that's a brand new piece that they're in now, compared to the older car that was out of their stable. And you know, the pass is no joke. The pass series is no joke. When you look at the lineup that was there of competitors, and you know, Bubba Pollard, he obviously didn't have the day he wanted to. He came home dead last. But that's a big name. And then of course last weekend's winner from Myrtle Beach. Old Jeff Foltz there,
right.
You know, with Fury Race Cars, he ended up coming home in the top five. And you got guys like DJ Shaw and Brandon Setzer and Shane Lee and Preston Peltier, obviously coming home in you know, in P1. But the names go on and on the pass side. And, you know, to come home 12th, that's a big result for JP.
Sure it is.
And
huge.
Yeah, you know, he was making the rounds and kind of growing down there. And you know, I watched him race a couple of times at Hickory. And, you know, he was more in the pro late model division than the past super late division.
Right.
But with that new car that they have, you know, it seems like it's quite the piece to come home 12th down there with the lineup that was there. And hats off to him. That's definitely the best result that we've seen out of JP in a long time.
What's that Hickory racetrack like? I've never seen
it. The coolest racetrack on earth.
Is it?
Yeah, it's one of the coolest ones. Lots of banking, lots of bumps. The place is just jagged for bumps. Really tough on tires. There's a, you know, the groove, so to speak, that everybody talks about at a short track is visible at Hickory. There's, you know, racing in the heat that they do and the complexion of the asphalt, those tires do a number on that racetrack. And really, when you look at it, it's almost like a cheese grater in the center of the corners on both ends. And then you mix in there with probably one of the bumpiest surfaces on any short track. They are hopping all over the place.
Make it tough to set up, wouldn't it?
It is very tough. And it's very fast. The track is a technical track. You got to hit your marks good. But you can still race side by side. You can get in there and dive to the bottom. Or you can also dive to the top side because that banking holds you in there. But in saying that, you got to kind of drive around the bumps. So you see some obscure lines from the competitors out there just simply getting away from the bumps. And it creates some really good racing. Obviously, you know, a late model now is reliant on limited travel and you know, keeping that grip on the tire. And when you kind of cross that with the conditions at Hickory, it creates, you know, some really wild moments throughout the course of a race. And obviously, you know, they had a good race this weekend. Lots of cars showed up. It's one of the best car counts I've seen in the Easter Bunny 150 for a while. And you know, hats off to them. And three Canadians, that's cool.
Yeah, it sure is. We'll see if maybe an hour or two we can dig up a couple of phone numbers and see if we can catch anybody. Who knows, right?
Absolutely.
Let me tell you who we got coming on the show tonight. Great lineup, I might add. We're going to hear from Brad Mann. How about Brad Mann? Seven-time champion out on Canada's East Coast. Brad is also our color commentator through our live broadcast when we're out doing the Parts for Trucks tour. Brad was in one of those Parts for Trucks tour cars not too long ago. He gave up the steering wheel and picked up a microphone. He's been on our crew for a couple of years, and we're going to check in with Brad. He's out in New Brunswick. We'll see how things are shaping up out his neck of the woods. He's a lot of fun.
I imagine we're going to talk a lot about snowmobiling.
Yeah.
Number one.
A little bit of that, I bet.
And then I imagine we're going to talk a lot about racing and kind of get a preview. He's out there. He's got a little bit of an advantage over us just simply because he's out there. He gets to, you know, hear the little inner workings of the Pro Stock Tour and how it's coming together. Obviously, he's got a lot of friends in the series. And, you know, hopefully we can suck some news out of him and and get some information flying. And obviously, it'll be great to catch up with
him.
It'll
be a lot of fun. You can get guarantee it. Then, right behind Brad, we're going to catch up with a driver all the way out from Eastbound International Speedway. We haven't had anybody on from Eastbound. They are part of the NASCAR All-American Weekly Series. We're going to hear from the 11 late model driver out there, Sportsman Series. Phil Fowler is going to join us. He's the driver of the 11. If you have a look at the release or get to the site, or our Facebook page, you'll see a picture of Phil's car. He's got it all painted up. It looks identical to Denny Hamlin's car. And Phil was down at Daytona and was right in the 11 pit throughout the course of the race. So we're going to catch up with Phil tonight. I spoke to him out at the driver's meeting here a couple of weeks ago. And I'll tell you what, Phil Fowler is one fired up guy. He had a really good race at the end of last year to end 2017. Phil Fowler wants to go for the championship in 2018. So we're going to catch up with Phil tonight. He's going to be a blast.
And just as a correction, we've had guys from Eastbound on the radio show.
Oh, yeah, we have.
But we haven't had since the new year. So
that's
this is a new
right.
season.
Yeah.
We've talked to Wade Walsh, and we've talked to a number of those guys. And then, of course, you broadcasted from out there last year. And, yeah, it'll be cool to catch up with old Fowler there. He's got a really cool-looking hot rod. You know, I love, and this could spark a little bit of debate. You know, when you go to a short track, back in the day, everybody would kind of emulate the Cup guys' paint schemes.
Right.
And you see a little bit of it nowadays, but you don't see a whole lot of
it. Not a lot, yeah.
You know, like, and some cars have, you know, a little bit of a creative edge using a part or a piece of a Cup car. I'm just going to use an example here. Nick Getz, right? His car, I remember a couple years back, he did kind of a tribute to the Country Time Lemonade car.
Did he?
But, you know, with the fluorescent pink and
the
fluorescent yellow.
Yeah. The 24 car. Yeah. I know the car you're talking about. Yep.
But, you know, there's little, you know, creative attributes that come from seeing Cup cars. When you look at Fowler's car, it looks exactly like Denny Hamlin's FedEx car. And that's cool. I love that. And it'll be neat to see, you know, as the season grows, to see, you know, how his season shapes up. Obviously, when you go into a season with a car looking that good, then it's a good thing.
You know, Phil is a magical guy, too. Painting cars, bodywork, that kind of stuff is what Phil does day to day. I wouldn't doubt if Phil gets the notion or his wife Gwen gets the notion to switch that car up and make it look different, you can bet Phil will just roll it into the shop and it'll come out brand new and a different look. But that's what I believe his car is going to look like this year.
Yeah, no, it looks good, and you know, it's going to stand out cool. And it, really, when I say you don't see a whole lot of that anymore,
right?
I miss that. I miss seeing, I remember looking at the Cast Car Series back in the day, right? And you had Alex Nagy, he had painted up like the AC Delco car, right? And then you also had guys,
Dan Shurtleff looked like
Dale Earnhardt's car. And then you also had, you know, Dave Whitlock look like Dale Jarrett's car. I loved that stuff, you know, and it was you see it now with the Go Fast Racing team and, you know, the 32 car of Matt DiBenedetto and Alex Labbe in the Pinty series and now in the Xfinity series. But really, the amount that you see it is slim to nil now. And I just, hats off to them for doing that. And it looks really cool. And how about a brand identity, right? You could see that car on the racetrack when fans come in and they sit down and they, you know, look at the product on the racetrack. They instantly gravitate towards a car like that because it's got all that brand
power. Recognizable. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. Yep. Also coming up on tonight's show in hour number two, we're going to catch up, and you're going to be able to meet, if you haven't met him already, a young driver from PEI. He's going to be in the Parts for Trucks Tour again this year. He drives the number 40. We're going to catch up with Robbie McEwen on this show. He is a great, talented young driver, and I can't wait to get him on the program and find out how his program is coming along for 2018 with that number 40 car. Those guys are nailing it, I wouldn't doubt. This year is the year you'll see Robbie McEwen in Victory Lane.
Wow.
Yeah.
This will be the first time talking to Robbie McEwen on my side. I've never met him, never talked to him before. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, it seems like I knew every name in the Parts for Trucks tour, and I didn't know Robbie at all. You know, it's just, it'll be cool to put a face to the name and talk to him about the season upcoming and see what he's got previewed for this season.
Well, we're also going to have time, and I guarantee you we're going to have time in hour number two to take your calls tonight. I guarantee it. I said it last week. I've said it for a couple of weeks. Tonight, we have left enough time in hour number two to take your calls, and we sure do look forward to it. Everything, it's wide open. Whatever you want to talk about tonight, short track racing, NASCAR, whatever you want to talk about, we're going to be open to your calls. And I'll give you the phone number. It's 888-572-2384. Now, that'll be in hour number two. But trust me, I'll cue you up when it's time to dial in. We'll open the phone lines and take your calls in hour number two. Junior, we're going to hit a quick break. I know we're a little early for it. We're going to hit this break. And on the other side of the break, we're going to have Big Brad Mann on this program. And we'll talk some short track. We'll talk parts for trucks and a whole pile of other interesting topics, I can well imagine, with seven-time Brad Mann's coming up. We'll be back in just a moment to get things started here tonight. Don't go anywhere. Racetime Radio will be right back.
Now, I got into Kenny a couple times coming through one and two, and a finger came out the side window. And I don't know which finger it was, whether he was pointing me inside or not. So I went inside.
Hi, race fans. This is Brad Keselowski. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
SiriusXM.com/NASCAR. The location to vote for your favorite driver.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.,
Danica Patrick,
Jimmy Johnson.
What shows are on throughout the day on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio?
The Morning Drive,
Trade and Feed,
SiriusXM Speedway,
race schedules, sound clips from your favorite drivers,
and more.
tune in to SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, now available online at SiriusXM.com and on the SiriusXM app for smartphones. SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Wherever you are,
Racetime Radio is there.
And the best part is,
it's free.
It's on your iPhone,
iPad,
BlackBerry,
Android,
or even the old way.
It's on your desktop, you little whippersnapper.
Get them, Gramps.
Streaming live or on demand.
You'll get it at racetimeradio.com.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
From the high banks of Daytona to the snow banks in Canada, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark. And now, back to the Joes.
Hey, shake and bake, Cal. Woo! Shake and bake!
Here on Racetime Radio.
Morning, dickhead.
Hello, moron.
Left those guys in. Had to do that. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. We got Brad Mann coming up here in just mere seconds. He's going to join the program. Seven-time champion old Brad is.
Yes. Yeah, Jimmy. We should call him Jimmy.
Jimmy. No, you can't call him Jimmy.
Hey, one thing, you know, we don't normally talk about new sponsors for at a racetrack, you know, typically. You know, new sponsors on a race team, that's different. But how about Climax Spirits? They're going to be, you know, the show Moonshiners on Discovery.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
They are going to be the naming rights of the party deck at Richmond International Raceway. They're coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
at Richmond, it's coming up. It's my favorite little block in the NASCAR Cup Series schedule with Bristol and with Richmond back to back, and then of course Talladega coming as well. But Climax and the brand, the legal brand from the Moonshiners brand, they're going to be sponsoring the party deck. How about that? Is going to be a party place.
I would say. Is what's his name going to be there?
Yeah, they're all going to be there.
Tickle and
what's his name?
I can't remember.
It is actually.
Yeah,
yeah. The overall wearing Moonshiner.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Let's get to the hotline. Let's bring in guest number one here tonight. Old faithful friend of mine and seven-time champion on the East Coast of Canada. Let's welcome in that big Brad Mann guy. How you doing there, Bradley? What's going on, brother?
I'm good, buddy. Yo.
Doing good? That's good. That's the way you're supposed to be doing it. Happy Easter.
Thank you. I was out shoveling snow all day.
No. Really? Did you guys get more snow down there?
Oh, man, I got about 6 feet in my yard.
Really?
Yep.
You can have
I'll probably
it.
Be sledding around the house in June instead of running the lawnmower.
Well, you won't have to cut the grass anyway.
No, I figure I save a couple tanks of gas.
Yeah. No kidding. How's the winter going for you, Bradley?
It's been busy, Joe, president of the New Brunswick Snowmobile Federation. I've been traveling all around with that. Got a chance to do a trip around the Gaspé. Just come back from Ottawa. Was elected president on Monday of the CCSO, the Canadian Division of Snowmobile Organizations. So I got me another job, and I'll be done the New Brunswick job on May 5th. So I've just been flat out sledding and meetings and enjoying the snow.
Incredible. That's congratulations in order there, brother. I knew you were the president of what you were doing out there in New Brunswick, but now, man, you're going big time.
Yeah, we're all the way up to Ottawa, so we'll oversee the Canadian outlets of the snowmobile associations, and we'll take care of that for 2 years, and did a lot of radio work over the winter, did the play-by-play for the Junior A Tigers on hockey TV, and then they made the playoffs, so we did it first time since 15 years back here, broadcasted live on the local radio station, all the road games, so I've been busy, buddy.
I would say so. See, that broadcasting has kicked right in. It's helped out.
Yeah, it is. It's that mic sort of sticking with me in the winter or the summer. I guess it follows me around.
It sure does. But Brad, you used to do a whale of a job behind the wheel of that number 35 Coors Light car that you had, and now you're with us. But I can imagine you got your ear to the pipe. What's happening out on the East Coast of Canada that you can fill us in on. You hear any good rumors?
Well, BSM Motorsports was down to the Easter Bunny. Brad Silliger was my crew chief back in my last years when I ran on the tour, so he's hooked up with Lonnie Somerville, and they were at the Easter Bunny 150. They qualified 28th in the field. They got all the way up to 9th and got put in the wall and ended up 16th. They made a bunch of pit stops, so they ended up 16th in the Easter Bunny 150, so that was a good showing for a maritime car. Hooked up with, spent some time with Greg Slonwhite, number 99, had his car ready early, he's got a new sponsor, he was actually up in Bathurst snowmobile when I was with him, and he's actually ready to go. This was in late February, so he's had a ready real early this time.
No surprise there, eh, Brad? Like, Craig is always ready to go race, and he's fast, too, in that Ford.
Yeah, he is, and the other nice thing, Joe, that our buddy over in the island, Ken Vinson's, got a brand new Gary Crooks race car. And, I'm excited for him. Kent's had a chassis that was hard to work with for the last 2-3 years. They couldn't seem to get it to go, and it's going to be nice to see Kent in a real good piece. So they look like they've added a couple sponsors. So I look for the 08 of Vinson to be a real contender, be up near the front. Also spoke to Cole Butcher's crew guy in Bathurst, also on a snowmobile trip, and they got their cars just about ready, and they're building an extra car for Cole to do the Alan Kowicki program. He's back in that for this year. So they've got a separate car to go down and run the races. They need to run stateside for that.
Yeah, lots to do. Lots happening out on the East Coast and getting ready for 2018. Brad, you know what it's like getting a new chassis, getting a new race car. Feels good, but can be a little intimidating, right? You got to figure that car out.
Well, it is, Joe, and I mean, we can't help but think back about John Fleming last year that had a brand-new race car, and they spent all summer trying to figure it out. So sometimes you might get lucky and hit it right on the button out of the box, but most times you'll spend the summer chasing it around. On the Vinson car, Gary Crooks, that would be a very similar car to Slonwaite's car. So Crooks knows all the tracks here in the East Coast, so that should help Vincent out a little bit, unless they made some major new. Usually what they do is change the front end geometry on these cars. Somebody gets a brainwave and they think something's better, and then sometimes it's not always better.
It's comical, you know. It's about a 50-50 deal. When you look at guys who build a brand new race car that you know, attack the drawing board, you know, a little differently. Like you said, you either hit it right on the button and you're a rocket ship, or you can't get out of your own way. There's not really a happy medium. You don't see a guy, you know, build a brand new race car and stay where he's at. It's usually way ahead of where he was, or way behind where he was, right?
I agree with you, Joe. You know, I had new race cars. I always ran Tucker chassis, and I'll go back to 2002. That chassis seemed to be better than any chassis I had. And I had three chassis out of there. But it was just always when you adjusted half a turn here, or you put a little wedge in or took a little wedge or bar out of it, it always reacted, where some of my cars after that, I had a brand new one after that, and that wasn't always the case. Like, we try to go back, and usually it's the front-end geometry that they change. The pickup points on these things, they're always trying to play around with the roll center. So sometimes it's better, but sometimes the old saying is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
You hit on a name there that perked my interest a little bit, because it's the Tucker camp have been building. Obviously, they got the young lad, you know, in the pro stock side now. What are you hearing out of the Tucker camp, you know, out there, you know, building into the future here?
Not a lot, other than they seem to want to let Dustin do his deal in the car. Sean got out of the car in 2014 the same time I did. Sean's never sit behind the wheel of a race car since, neither have I. So Dustin come along quite a bit better last year. He was getting a feel of the car, and you got to realize that Dustin didn't drive a street stock or he didn't drive a sportsman. He just jumped right into pro stock, but that's what Sean did also. So I know that they were looking to sell the car from last year, and they always build a new chassis every winter. A lot of changes over at Speedway 660. They've gone away from the American race tire and they've gone back to the tour tire. 660 losing a tour date. Two tour dates gone to the Island. The Island guys got to be happy. There's 10 or 11 cars from the Island, so that's a great deal for them. And also the late model North Series out of the States is going to Petty's this year for a change. So we got a lot of changes going on, a lot of exciting things.
We got Brad Mann with us. That's who's on the other end of this hotline. He's out in New Brunswick. You can always catch him on our live broadcast of races from the Parts for Trucks Tour. We got seven of them this year coming to you live from Nova Scotia. If it happens in a pro stock in Nova Scotia, you're going to be hearing it live on Racetime Radio worldwide. And Brad Mann is our color guy that is actually right down on pit road and giving us a skinny on what's taking place just on the other side of the racetrack. Brad, we've seen a lot of good races last year. No doubt, Sean Turpo had a dream finish to 2017, taking the championship. It didn't look like he was going to win it. About, 12, 15 laps into that last race, kind of thought he was going to be out of it. They pulled not only a rabbit out of the hat, but pulled a really good race together. Everything sort of fell into place for them. But last year, we seen a lot of good talent in that Parts for Trucks Tour. Who do you think we're going to see this year maybe hit victory lane, but who do you think we're going to see as a champion this year? With all the competition, it's going to be a wild shot for sure, but who are you thinking?
Well, you can't overlook Blakehorn. Dylan Blakehorn would have been the champion the last 2 years in a row, Joe, if he hadn't got in trouble in the tech shed. So you can't count Dylan out. If they stay out of trouble and stay out of the tech shed, they'll be a contender. Cole Butcher, you can't count him out. He's going to be a contender. Does Fleming come back full-time? That's a question we don't know. Also, maybe Dylan Gosby from the Island. They got a brand-new race car, and they've got it figured out after having it for a year. Don't count out the big red Dodge because he's been down in the States and bought a brand-new piece also. So those are just regular names, and who knows that Turpo's not going to be in the hunt again. He's always a threat. How about Cole Butcher's brother? He's Jarrett. He's coming up. We saw, bright spots out of him last year, and it was his first year. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Jarrett Butcher go to victory lane once or twice this year. So there's going to be, Kent Binns has got a brand-new race car, so he's going to be competitive up there. And two races going to the Island is Robbie Stevens going to get enough sponsors over on the Island to come out and run all the time?
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? Donald Chisholm, I wonder if he's going to win at Scotia Speed World. The guy has been trying, 45 races he's got under his belt at that racetrack. He's got a bunch of second-place finishes, never a win at Scotia Speed World. Can he solve it this year?
He may be able to do that, and you just remind me of somebody else, Joe. There's a kid coming out of the Chisholm camp that's going to run in the car, and I just can't think of his name right now, but he was in the car last year for a couple of races, and he was a real good wheel man, so he may be a threat also.
Yeah, Braden Langill, right?
Right.
That's the young guy.
That's the kid, and he'll be good behind the wheel, and George is going to be wanting to get Donald that win at Scotia before he hangs up the steering wheel in a couple of years' time or whatever. He's been good. Last year was probably the best year that he was at Scotia. He was competitive. Running the top three many times. We saw him up the top three, top two on the board on time trials. So he's got Addie Ganish figured out, that's for sure. And it's exciting that Kenny Wallace is coming to the IWK 250. Are we going to have a blast with him?
Yeah, I can well imagine.
I honestly think you guys are, it's going to be so cool. Kenny Wallace is a crazy cat, but he's a hard-nosed racer. We've seen him a couple times here, Brad, on the Ontario side, and he jumps in those short track cars and he gets after it.
I'm just thinking, Joe, the early pit party on Thursday night, me and Kenny Wallace roaming around together and your father worrying about where we're going.
Yeah, and put mix Jerry and Josh Paxton in with you. Oh, boy, have I got my hands full.
And we got a bunch of people coming down from up my way, Joe, for the IWK for the first time, the 250, with the fall race being canceled in New Hampshire, which we always went to 10 or 12 trailers from right here in Camel to Dowd's area. They've all bought sites for the IWK 250, so they're going to take their vacation over there. So we're going to bring some new fans to the field.
Nothing wrong with that at all. They're really going to enjoy themselves. I know you guys are going to miss that New Hampshire race, but that IWK 250, that's a pretty good trade, if you ask me.
Yeah, it is, and I've always been there, and they've never been down there, so I've rant and raved about the racetrack and the race for so long, so hopefully we'll put on a good show, because now they're believing in what I've told them, so they're coming to see if it's all what I said.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's your arse on the line if it's a sleeper race, right?
Oh, yeah, but I'm not worried about that.
Oh,
we never have a sleeper race at that one. It's always exciting to
exactly.
Down to the last lap, who's going to win, and you never know if it's a bump and run to get the win. And you could, like you said, Kenny Wallace, hard-nosed racer, he's going to want to win. There's only been one NASCAR guy came there and win, was Reagan Smith. So there's been a list of them trying to beat the locals, but the locals always prevail.
Yep, 100%.
When I was talking to Kenny Wallace here just a couple of weeks ago when the announcement was done, I told Kenny that. I said, you know, there's only been one NASCAR guy, Reagan Smith, has come here, and it took him twice to come in and win this race. And, of course, Kenny works with Reagan Smith on the Fox broadcast, and the two of them have been talking. So I don't know whether Regan's trying to give him some inside information on what he should do. But I didn't see the race. Maybe you did, Brad, when Reagan won. You were probably in it. But did Reagan get into anybody? I know he did on one of his visits.
Yeah, they get into it. Him and Turpo got together the first year they were there, and then they took each other out in the backstretch afterwards. And there was a little ruckus in the pit. But then he come back the year after, and he got the victory. So
it all tends to work
tight
out.
Short track racing, and they had George pretty wound up that night.
They came out swinging.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Brad, we're going to put you on the spot here a little bit. Obviously, the IWK 250 has got to be right up there. But what race are you most excited for this year, rolling into 2018? What race are you thinking is going to be different or you know, more exciting or stepped up from the years past?
Well, I'm going to go out on the limb here, guys, and I know you guys have never been to Oyster Bed Ridge in Prince Edward Island, but the last 2 years, the race there came down to the last lap, the last corner. It's been unbelievable back and forth over in the island. So going to the island twice, it's going to be a show to remember both times, and they always jam-pack them in there. The stands are full every time the tour goes there.
Yeah, so that's going to be a good one, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, unbelievable. I know one of the races you were out there, force feeding me all the information just like I needed it here. You were keeping me right up to date, and I'll tell you what, even Twitter was exciting that night.
Yeah, no, there's always a show, and the island's a tight track, and it's got two different turns. It's got one high banked and one flat end of it, so you got to decide which end you want to be the better in, and usually you're not getting a race car that's good in both ends. I won over there in the island, so you have to decide and practice where you want to be better, and usually it's coming off of turn four. You want to have it set up good coming back to the line.
Yeah, and you were a master at that, too. I can remember watching you in a pro stock car. Brad Mann, you were awesome to watch. You're definitely awesome to listen to throughout the course of the broadcast. You give us a lot of real good, useful information, stuff that Jerry, Josh, and I probably wouldn't be able to reiterate quite as good as you can, my friend.
Well, I thank you for the kind words. That's just from being around the car. And most times I did a lot of my own setup over the years, so I got to know the race car inside and out pretty well. And maybe we're going to jump behind the wheel of one over on the Rock this summer. Phil Fowler called me, and there's some interest there. Maybe I'm going to go to the Rock for a week to set up some pro stock cars for Patty and Phil. And who knows if I don't get to go roundy round on one over there in Newfoundland.
Well, that would be a lot of fun, too. I would be there for that, and I would look forward to it. That would be a lot of fun. We got Phil Fowler coming up on the show tonight. Thought he'd be an interesting guest. Did you see his car for this year, the number 11?
No, I didn't. I just know that he was all excited to get it ready, and he called me, I think it was way back in October, so near the end of the race season, he had called one night. And I haven't really talked to him since, but we'll be in touch with him, that's for sure, and he was pretty excited about getting it ready.
He sure is. I'll tell you what, in speaking to him a couple weeks ago at the meeting, he wants to go after a championship. I've never seen Phil Fowler this driven. He is ready to go, and he must talk to you because he is really up on it.
I can't help but think, Joe, how I met him when the first time we were over in the Rock, and I drive down pit road on the golf cart. We're testing the mics for you, and I drive down into the corner into turn one, and I look, and there's an engine stand and a short block 350 Chevy sitting there with no heads on, and lo and behold, it was Phil Fowler's motor, and later that night, they come in with a motor, and the track owner's there putting it in with a backhoe, just stuff you wouldn't dream of seeing this day, but them boys were hard at it, and it was a memorable moment when I saw that short block sitting on an engine stand on pit road.
I remember you calling that back up saying, do you see this? Look at this right here. I know it really took you back.
Yeah, I did, and I was over there that night and helped them put the other one in, and so it was kind of fun to meet Patty, and then I got to know Phil pretty well, so I spent a little extra time with them guys when we were over there doing the broadcast, so looking forward, if I can go over there for a few days and help Phil out and get him on the right track, I'll be glad to do that.
Yeah, it's going to be a super summer, I can guarantee you. 2018 will not disappoint. We're in for some good stuff on that East Coast and straight across this country here in Canada. Really looking forward to it. Brad, you are you going to get out to any kind of practice sessions before we get a chance to go green? Do you got anything sort of circled on the calendar once the snow goes?
Well, I think probably, Joe, is I'll probably go to the opening race at Petty's. So that'll be one before we go to Halifax. So kind of plan on going down there and seeing what everybody got the first day to get a jump on it so that when we broadcast the Scotia race, I'll already have one race under my belt, seeing what the guys are doing and what's new and exciting and who's fast.
Brad, check out the CASCAR The Glory Years on Facebook. There's a group set up, and there is a blast from the past for you back from 2000, and it's nobody but you sitting behind the wheel of your number 35 Capital Roofing CASCAR car from back in the day.
Yeah, that was a deal in 2000. I drove a lot of cars, Joe Jr., and that was my sponsor, Capital City Roof, and rented that from Kerry Mix. So if you notice by a picture, it's a Ford. I never raced a Ford. I always raced ships. And my uncle said to me, we were up at Fox Ford with the car on display, and he said, well, I'm glad you get to do this show, but he said, you're driving a Ford, you probably break down, you know? Lo and behold, we did. We blew an engine on practice on Friday, and the crew worked all night putting an engine in, and we ended up having an oil leak probably about halfway through the race. There was two Maritimers in that race. The late Scott Fraser was in a car. They ran it from Dave Whitlock. So we were both in the race that time in Fredericton.
Would have been interesting to see how you would have finished up in one of those. That would have been a gas.
Yeah. I tell you, about the I didn't care. It was a 3,500-pound race car. And at that time, I was racing the Pro Stocks, which were 2850, and I'd take my Pro Stock any day over the CAS car. I found it was top-heavy, and I didn't find them as powerful as what our Pro Stocks were with the weight difference. And that summer also, I got to sit in a Legend car, Capital City Roof, and they'd rented me a Legend car one night when the Legend Tour was there. And we ended up, we finished third with it and had a pretty good night. But that's why the kids are so good that come in a Legend car, because that's probably the hardest thing I ever had to drive in my life. They're so twitchy, and these Butchers and Blakehorns that come up out of these Legend cars and Langeo, that's why they're so good in a Pro Stock car. If they can master that Legend car, Pro Stock car is easier to drive than that.
Man, putting you in one of those today, you'd have to take, I don't know, about 4 quarts of butter and a real big shoehorn to get you in one of them.
Well, shots fired. Shots fired.
I don't know how to tell you this, but I dropped 40 since December. So
really? 40
yep.
pounds? Really?
Yep.
Oh, man. What have, Dar must have got you doing something.
No, that's gone out of the picture.
Amazing.
Busy running on snowmobiles, buddy.
I bet. I wouldn't doubt it. Like, trails are still open there now. When do you plan on shutting them down?
Our trail pass system ends on April the 15th, so we got 14 more days. It'll be a shame this year because there's going to be lots of snow left to still run, but the groomers aren't allowed to groom after April 15th. I just came from Moose Valley and behind Edmiston, and there's probably 10 feet of snow in there. I was in there Wednesday and Thursday of this week, and last year the owner of the outfitters told me he sledded on May 6th, and this year he figures he'll do a video, but he figures he should be running about the 22nd or the 30th of May.
Oh, man, that's no good. You don't want snow that long.
We don't have much choice. I'm looking out the window here, Joe, and actually the snow is level with the eave of my race shop.
Wow.
That's how much snow I have here. We shoveled the roof off twice this winter.
Incredible. Well, you keep it there and get rid of it, Brad. We got to go racing, buddy.
Oh, we will. I'm just thinking Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island had no snow all winter, so I was trying to figure out how I could freeze this up and sell them some.
Incredible. Brad, this has been great catching up with you. I know we all look forward to getting back together. Today, I've seen a picture, funny story this morning, seen a picture on Facebook. Josh had his kids looking for the Easter eggs and everything that the Easter Bunny would have left. And I said, man, those kids look as excited as Jerry finding a Bud Light in the bottom of a Pepsi cooler.
Especially a cold one.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Thinking that it's all Pepsi and he finds one lucky.
Yeah, we keep the Pepsi for you, Joe.
I know. Yeah, good stuff. I can't wait till the summer, buddy. It's going to be a blast. We got a good year coming up.
We'll have a blast. We always do, and it's a real pleasure to be able to work with you and Jerry and Josh, and I enjoy my time doing that. I get teased around here that I'm the Jeff Gordon of racing, get out of the car and get a microphone, or the Darrell Waltrip, they call me sometimes. But I don't think I got jaws like Darrell Waltrip, but anyway.
As long as you don't say boogity, 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 we're all good.
No, we're going to get a new line there. I'm just trying to think of something, but we'll come up with something.
I can bet. If anybody can, Brad, man, I know you're the guy. Going to be a hoot. Thanks so much for your time tonight, partner. We will catch you on May the 25th, 26th. We're going to be at Scotia Speed World together.
Actually, my birthday's on the 22nd, Joe, so we'll just celebrate that down there.
Absolutely. We'll do it at the Wooden Door Bistro.
You're right on, buddy.
Sounds good, Brad. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
You bet.
You guys,
that's,
have a good night.
You bet. That's Brad Mann. You can catch him on Racetime Radio. We got some great broadcasts coming up. We're going to hit this break, Junior. When we come back, we're going to go off to the Rock, and we're going to grab Phil Fowler and check in with him, see how that 11 is coming along, see what the plans look like for 2018 at Eastbound International Speedway. Stay with us. Junior and I will be back in just a moment.
Bonjour, ici Andrew Ranger, coureur de la voiture 27. Vous écoutez Racetime Radio.
I'm Andrew Ranger. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
To Canada Talks.
Get your race fix anytime online.
www.racetimeradio.com.
Also available on Facebook.
Just search Racetime Radio.
And as always, you can drop us an email.
info@racetimeradio.com.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
I'm Amber Mack.
I'm Michael B.
Every week on The Feed, we're going to talk about what's new now and next in the world of technology and social media.
Whether you want to know how to keep yourself safe online or get startup tips from today's hottest tech entrepreneurs, we've got you covered.
We'll also invite a team of experts from around the world to join us, the hottest social media stars on the internet.
The Feed is your show for nonstop tech talk about what's new now and next.
Weekends on Canada Talks.
Sirius XM Channel 167.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Radio. This is what you get when you work hard.
Hell yeah.
Get it.
Out of the way. We're going to the front.
Run, baby. Make it count at the end.
Turn four for the final time.
Inside, dig hard.
Yeah.
Ring the bell, baby.
Woo.
Here comes the rest of the pack.
You're home for NASCAR.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Carl Edwards.
Richard Petty.
Danica Patrick.
Jimmy Johnson.
Jeff Gordon.
Tony Stewart.
All right, I'm out of here.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
What are your pleasures? What do you like to do?
Oh, I don't know. Play chess. Screw.
Well, let's play chess.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. So
Blazing Saddles.
Glad you could do that. Yeah, little Blazing Saddles. That was a funny show now, wasn't it?
It was.
Incredible. Got to welcome the listeners of the Performance Motorsport Network.com. And how about everybody over at Gearhead Country Radio? Welcome aboard. And, of course, all of our Sirius XM listeners. So glad you could tune in. We're going to get back to the hotline now and go back to all the way out to Newfoundland. How about that? We'll go out to Eastbound International Speedway and located just outside St. John's. Let's pick up the number 11. We've got Phil Fowler on the hotline. He drives the number 11 and he's getting ready for 2018. Hey, Phil, what's going on, my friend? What's going on?
Hey, Joe, how's it going, bud?
Doing fantastic. How about you? You having a good weekend? Good Easter?
Yeah, we're having a great weekend.
Good deal. Do you get that? You get more done on the race car, or is it set and ready to go, buddy?
The car is almost ready to go. We got to do a little bit of work. We got to take a fair bit of weight out of it this year. We're going to go with a crate motor, so we're going to save a fair bit of weight. And then Pat's got to work his magic and get that thing to turn left like never before.
Yeah, well, it was turning really good left last year, right at the end of the season. You didn't have a bad year all around. But, Phil, you had a real good finish to 2017. Did the car feel different? Was there something changed within you or the car?
Well, the car ran super good. We spent a Saturday, myself and Pat, and we done some work with the car. He fine-tuned the car, got it dialed in super good. The car was fast. We had a little bit of a frustrating practice. So when I sat behind the wheel of the car, I says, give it all or nothing here, buddy. So, all is what it got.
Yeah, well, you went out there and did it in convincing style. I know I can't wait to see what you produce and what you put on the racetrack for this season. It's truly going to be amazing at Eastbound Park. I know we're all looking forward to it. Phil, for listeners that don't know who Phil Fowler is, let's talk a little bit of history. Let's find out who you are. Of course, I know who you are, buddy, but for the listeners out here, how long have you been racing? Whereabouts are you from? Give us the lowdown on Phil Fowler.
Oh, I'm from the Big Land. I'm from Labrador. I grew up in Labrador. Moved to Newfoundland playing hockey. I started drag racing in the late 80s, early 90s. And Mike James, the track coordinator, we'll call him.
Yeah.
He convinced me to jump into a legend car. And I was quite hesitant at the beginning. Well, I jumped into the legend car and got hooked like you would not believe. And now we're running the Wheel and NASCAR series and hopefully going to get a few races in the pro stock up the mainland this summer.
Incredible. Is it a big jump, Phil, to go from drag racing to oval track? Is it something that, you know, is it something that maybe drag guys look at and say no thank you? Or is it a big jump, or what do you think?
Oh, my God, it's unbelievable. Sitting in a drag car doing a 9-second quarter mile or getting in a circle track car and spending an hour and a half, an inch and a quarter from somebody,
that's a
totally different adrenaline rush.
Yeah, and a totally different mindset, I would take it, right?
Totally different mindset altogether.
Now,
like they say, you put on your helmet and you're a totally different person.
and that's true too. A lot of circle track guys, Junior, are like that. You put a helmet on them, they change.
Oh, 100%. If they don't, then they're at the back. Like it's you honestly have to, you know, approach short track racing. There's no friends out there by any stretch. And on the flip side, you have to be defensive of not only your position, but also your car as well. So, it's wild when you see the transformation. Some of the most calm guys that I've ever met, you know, that are good short track racers, when they have a helmet on, they turn instantly into somebody else. And it's not a bad thing. That's where the competition comes from.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it drives them. And I know, Phil, you're that kind of guy too, that you look at everything as a challenge. You get out there and you always try and better yourself, which you normally do. And 2018, I got a sneaky suspicion that we're going to see a big transformation this year.
We're going to see, yeah, hopefully. I ran all build engines before. So this year we're going to run the 602 crate, all seal up engine with the 4-barrel. So, and I think we're going to be losing about 250 pounds, if I'm correct.
Wow.
So hopefully we'll gain it with the weight taken out of the car, and we should be real, real, real competitive. And if we're not, we'll go back to the built engine again.
Absolutely. You still got them sitting there, right?
Still got them sitting there, yeah.
Phil, talk to us a little bit. We're a little bit jaded here in Ontario and even really the East Coast on the mainland. You know, just simply the logistics of having a race team. Talk to us a little bit about the logistics of having a race team in Newfoundland. Obviously, you know, your intervals and getting parts and things like that are really spaced out. And I think that a lot of the people from, you know, Ontario or you know, the Quebec contingent or even the East Coast in the Pro Stock Tour don't really understand how you guys operate a race team out there. Talk to us a little bit about the logistics of how you get from race to race, getting parts and getting all those different things put together.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. It takes a little bit of time sometimes for us to get parts and for our cars. But we do have a couple of really good suppliers here on the Rock, and they try to accommodate us as much as possible. But there's also a couple of good suppliers that we use up in Nova Scotia, and they treat us super well. We usually can get everything in here within a couple of days. Between Boyd Considine Jr. and Stevie, we don't usually have any issue with parts. But we usually stockpile a lot of stuff also. So at the beginning of the race season, our trailers are pretty well equipped with enough to build a car two or three times. That's what we try to do. But unfortunately, sometimes that can't happen. But when we need more stuff, the couple suppliers right here usually take care of us quite well.
Yeah,
with Brian's auto body, Constantine cylinder heads, and Stevie up in Nova Scotia, we're usually taken care of quite easily.
Yeah, the bad part, I guess, is everything that you guys touch usually costs you a ton more because you got to freight it out there, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
so
we don't have the luxury either of racing the multiple racetracks, but we're lucky that we got one. Probably with the racetracks I've seen, we probably have one of the nicest racetracks in Atlantic Canada. But other than that, we got an awesome situation here. Our track is fast. There's two different turns on turn one and two. Is nice and high banked. We got turn four, which is pretty flat. So you really got to have your ducks in a row to get the car to go around the track pretty good. But once the setup's all figured out, we probably got one of the nicest tracks around to race on. And our track is a really fast track also.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. It's one of the nicest facilities in Canada, hands down. Fans got to check it out. Eastbound Park. If you're going to Newfoundland on a holiday, trust me, you got to take one night and come out to Eastbound International Speedway and check it out. It's a beautiful facility, and you get to see some real good quality race teams do their thing on a beautiful racetrack. Phil, talk to us about the crew that you got assembled. Who have you got all lined up that's going to help you out?
We got a guy, Frank Oates, and a guy, Morgan Oates. We got Freddie Arsenal. He is going to be he's going to be a member of the pit this year, and he's also going to be my spotter. And, of course, we got the good old crew chief, Patty Squires. That's the owner of the racetrack, and he's going to be the one calling the shots on everything. So if it's not the way he wants it, it's going to have to be the way he wants it. So I'm quite confident this year we're going to have an awesome team in place, and our car is going to be crazy fast this year.
Yeah, it's going to be real exciting. How about sponsorship on the car? Who have you got helping you out that way? Because I know it'll be tough to do it all by yourself.
Yeah, we're working on two potential sponsors there right now, two big sponsors. We don't have a commitment as of right yet, but hopefully by the end of next week we'll have a couple of big announcements to make on who is going to be sponsoring behind number 11.
Yeah, that's cool. I know we look forward to it. Phil, you got a great race team there. I know you guys have invested a pile to make sure 2018 goes your way. And you're going to have to because the competition out there is so stiff. Man, it was tight last year.
It was really tight. And this year is even going to be tighter. So we got two cars in our team, two sportsmen, plus we got the pro stocks. So our team this year, Paddy's going to have his hands full with keeping those two cars turning left. But I'm quite confident in him with his skills and everything. So I think the only real competition, we're going to have a couple few cars out there that's really, really, really competitive cars. So we just got to keep with those guys and make sure we finish the race in the top five. If we can pull off a scattered win, even better. But as long as we finish every race within the top three or top five, I think we'll have a real good chance at the championship this year.
Yeah, consistency always pays, and I believe that's what it's going to take again this year. You mentioned the pro stock. What are the plans for that? You're going to test and tune, of course, at Eastbound, and then you got a couple of races figured out that you're going to go try on the mainland?
Yes. Now, the pro stock, that's a new car for me. Now, I practiced that car a fair bit last season. So basically, when we get that car to the numbers that Paddy thinks the car should be at on our racetrack, if we can get to the mid to the high 15s on our track, then we'll venture off and do some racing up on the mainland. Now, Shannon Squires, which is Paddy's son, he's already deep into the 15, so he's definitely going to be racing there. So I just got to get my ducks in a row, and I'm willing to bet within the second practice I'll be in where Paddy wants me to be.
Oh, that would be so cool. And, you know, taking two cars over when you go, you might as well take two and bring two race teams, the 18 and the 11. That would be kind of cool.
It would be. And Paddy is definitely not doing a pro stock race. I mean, not there. So
so all the weight is going to be on your shoulders.
All the weight is going to be on my shoulders.
Well, that's okay. Gwen will be cracking the whip, making sure that you're out there doing what you need to do, buddy.
That's for sure. It's a good thing I got a weight that's 100% behind me on this, because I spent a lot of time, almost we're out there between 3 and 4 nights a week on our racetrack trying to tune in our cars and everything. So he's behind me I'm out there every weekend and 2 to 3 times a nights a week. And with her and Paddy, there's no way that I won't be able to do it. So we are definitely going to be doing it this year.
Incredible. Final question for you tonight, Phil, and we really appreciate your time. We're with Phil Fowler all the way out in Newfoundland. Phil, the 11 car really looks like Denny Hamlin's car. Why Denny Hamlin? Is he your favorite? What's the deal there? Because you got that car looking amazing.
Yeah, Denny Hamlin. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Denny Hamlin. So I said, why not? So we went down to Las Vegas to watch a race, and I was just lucky enough to get within 1 foot inside of his pit to watch the whole race. So I said, why not? I said, let's do our race cars. My pro stocks and my sportsmen's, let's do them all. The Denny Hamlin colors. So that's what I came back and went ahead and done. And I think the cars look great.
They do. They do, by the way. Your cars look spectacular. Definitely the photo that I've seen that's posted on the racetimeradio.com site. You guys did a great job, both on the color matching, but also on the graphics as well. Hats off to you, because that is definitely brand recognition. When those fans are sitting up in the grandstands, they're going to see that car, and they're going to remember it from seeing it on TV.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's what I'm hoping for.
Did you meet Denny? Did you meet him at all? Oh, we lost Phil. He's gone. We lost him out in Newfoundland. Somebody disconnected the wire in between here and Newfoundland, right at the key spot.
A boat hit the line.
Maybe. You know what? Phil Fowler is one of those kind of guys that he's dynamite in person to sit down and talk to Phil. These guys are going to do a lot of work this year. You can already see it in the team and in the way everything is sort of laid out. We'll catch up with Phil again one of these nights. We'll get him back on the program. Too bad it ended that way. But, Phil, I know you're tuned in, buddy. We'll get you back on. We're getting real close to the top of the hour here. Got to take a quick break, throw it back to Sirius XM, do a quick news update, and then we're going to kick off hour number two here tonight. Who we got coming up? Look at this. We got Robin McEwen coming back up. He's going to be on the show. We're going to have time to open the phone lines and take your calls. We got a lot still to go here tonight on Racetime Radio, Junior.
Absolutely. You can hear the excitement. You know, he's got a lot of excitement built up for the season, and it'll be really interesting to follow along just to see how everything transpires throughout the year. And you can hear the not just the excitement to get out there and go racing, but the excitement for the, you know, the competitive side. And I think he's going to get out there and put some numbers on the board this year.
He sure is. Patty Squires, he along with the rest of the crew, Phil Scott, look out. These guys are coming loaded for bear. Good news for race fans at Eastbound International Speedway. Okay, we're going to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date, and then we'll be back for hour number two. So don't go anywhere. Racetime Radio will continue in just a couple of moments.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. K&K Insurance, insuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
Best team in the business.
Can the fans hear me right now on this?
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
NASCAR Nation?
All
yeah, we're here.
Things.
Learn as much as you can.
Racing.
Get ready to rock and roll here.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
It's about keeping our fans involved. Lots of times I hear things and I go back and I'm like, man, you know what? That guy was right or that lady's right.
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, channel 90.
Take a flag here, baby.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
We're back with our number two of Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167.
Canada Talks.
Boom. And just like that, hour number two begins. One more hour tonight. Sure hope you're having a good time. Easter weekend. Sure hope you had a great Easter weekend. Don't eat too much chocolate now. The zits will start popping out. Junior, it was a good Easter. We had a good dinner tonight, man. That was awesome.
We did, but I am in a turkey coma. So if I'm a little slower tonight, it's
so much.
Man, the turkey just, that puts you to sleep.
It does. It does. It's nice having, like, the family time's been fantastic. Wendy and Dwayne, and we had Kathy and Grant over tonight. You guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of fun.
Been an incredible weekend. We've gone through a lot here at the house. Over the past, a couple weeks here, we've been doing a lot of house renovations. We lost one of our dogs. It's been an emotional roller coaster all the way through. We've had a good time with the holidays, and man, it's going to be great to get racing underway. I know things were looking real good here, and then what did we have? Snow last night started flying around here. It melted again today, but hey, we need some spring.
We do for sure, and it's comical because there's a couple of buddies of mine that race both in the APC series and race at Sauble and over at Sunset and stuff, and they're getting ready to get out there and get some testing in here already.
Yeah,
a couple of the tracks are cleared off. Obviously, the frost needs to come out of the ground, but talking to a couple guys this weekend, they're going to get out there by the sounds of it by the end of next week or the beginning of the following week to get out there and get some testing done here in Ontario. So it's there. It's coming.
It is.
There's a couple of snow banks here and there, but as long as the track is cleared off. I've seen a couple of images this weekend of a couple of guys chipping away some snow from up at the wall. At a couple of short tracks here in Ontario, so hand chipping it off
right.
to get it off the surface and
speed
and
it up a bit.
Yes, for sure. But testing is going to be right around the corner. Obviously, there's some testing, kind of getting prepped in the NASCAR Pinty Series as well. And I've even heard rumors there's a couple of teams that are actually down south right now testing down north of the, or south of the border.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
so.
Right. Trying to get some time in.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, the ice is off the lake here. We live on a small lake. The ice is off. But you couldn't put your boat in by any chance. They still got a lot of ice on the dock and stuff. But it is only April 1st, after all, right? It is Canada. Yep. It's April 1st. By the middle of April, towards the end, we're going to have some nice warm stuff coming at us. And the May long weekend kicks in, and that's when everything starts to come alive racing-wise. It does kick in before then. We've got a lot of tracks that will open up before then. Sunset Speedway is one of them. They're excited to get underway.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, one thing I touched on when we were talking to Brad Mann was the CASCAR, the glory years. The group that is on Facebook.
Yeah.
I have been having so much fun scrolling through it. It seems like once a day I go on and check it out. You know, when you look at it, you know, there's images from, you know, back in the day with CASCAR, back in the players' days and we're talking the, you know, early 80s and the late 90s and then into the 2000s as well. And, you know, looking back on it, I urge everybody that's listening, if you're a racer and you know the CASCAR series from back in the day, definitely check it out, because there is some really cool imagery. Guys like Cole Pern, you know, there's a bunch of hero cards and images from the racetracks and stuff like that when he was in a Kubota car. And, you know, there's lots of photos of, you know, Mark Dilley's early years with the NTN car and, you know, Alex Nagy and all those guys. You know, there's a lot of really cool imagery and as well some surprise names that I never knew raced in the CASCAR series. Like Brad Mann was an example of that, just scrolling through and seeing it. But there's a lot of really interesting history to be learned from that, and just it's a lot of fun to poke through. So CASCAR the Glory Years on Facebook, and I imagine we'll post a link on our Facebook as well, just so you
sure.
can check it out.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll talk more about it here in hour number two as well, that amongst a whole pile of other interesting topics. But what do you say we get back to the hotline now and welcome in our next guest? This driver is a real talented individual. He's a young driver all the way out in PEI. He's getting ready for the Pro Stock Tour once again in 2018. He drives the number 40. His name, Robbie McEwen. Remember that name. You're going to hear a lot about him this summer of 2018. And he joins us on the hotline right now. What's going on, Robbie? What's happening?
Oh, you know, just getting ready to go racing.
Getting the 40 car all set.
Yeah, we've been thrashing pretty hard at it, so it's not far away.
That's good. And how is the process coming along? Where, what stage are you at? Motor in, body on, paint done. What do you got left to do?
Just actually started setting the motor in this weekend and playing around with that. And body was on the car; it's back off, on its way to get painted, and few more things to do, and we'll be ready to go.
That's cool. Sue was doing the release for today. We always do a little show release the day on Sunday to let everybody know who's coming up on the program. And she pulled up an older photo of the 40. I believe that was your first year, 2016. She said, "Can I use this one?" I said, "Absolutely." That was a cool looking car.
I think that was 2016. That would have been her third year, I think, actually, running on the tour. And I think that was from Petty, that picture.
Yep, pretty cool stuff. What's the car going to look like this year? You got your paint scheme all figured out, I would take it.
Yeah, we do. We're kind of going to change things up a little bit this year. So we've been black and yellow the last few years. Figure it's time for a bit of a change, so stay tuned.
Yeah, good way to put it, right? Stay tuned, and we will do that. When you get it all ready, you're going to post it up on McEwen Motorsports Twitter and Facebook?
Oh, yeah. No, we will. Actually, my Aunt Gracie, she takes care of all that stuff. She does an awesome job promoting everything, and she actually tapes a lot of the races, and she's really dedicated. She's been doing that for... since I started. I think we got pretty near every race on tape.
Too cool. Nice to have the history, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's good to go back and study some of the old races and, you know, see where we made mistakes and where we could have gained a little bit here and there and whatnot. Every little bit helps. The competition's so tough.
Yeah, oh, yeah. In the Parts for Trucks Tour, it's off the hook. Robbie, Victory Lane, you're looking for it. You got to be excited.
Yeah.
When you got two races out on the island this year, do you think that first win's going to come at home, or have you got another racetrack in mind?
Yeah, I hope so, but really, I think our best track's been Riverside and Petty. I know PEI, we've had some good runs, but we can't seem to seal the deal there, but we're hoping so. Definitely we've got a lot of laps there, definitely got an advantage compared to, you know, some of the Nova Scotia guys and stuff, but there's so many good cars at a PEI, like, you know, Dylan Gosby, he knows that place, he has it figured out, and Jonathan Hicken, Greg Proud, there's some heavy hitters out of the island, so, you know, we got to be on top of our game to be up there racing with them.
I would agree wholeheartedly. Do you get together with any of those names that you mentioned through the off season? Do you ever see Proud or any of those guys kicking around?
Yeah, we usually do. It's a pretty close group, I think. Like, everybody on the island's pretty good for helping each other and stuff. And like, I know over the years, you know, Jonathan Hicken, he's been a great help. Same with Dylan and Joel Hickox, Nevin Scott. They're all really good fellas, and they give you anything you needed if you gotta try and get to the track. If you're short a part or two, you can always count on them guys.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of real good guys to lean on for information. Anybody, any sighting of the 18 of Darren McKinnon? Have you seen him kicking around at all? How's he doing?
Yeah. No, actually, Darren's a pretty good buddy of mine. I've seen him out a little bit. Usually we do a bit of snowmobiling in the winter together. It's been a terrible year in PEI for that, so haven't seen Darren in a bit, but them guys have been great as well. Same with Chris Hughes. I used to actually, myself and my crew chief, Josh Morrison, we used to crew for Chris a little bit back in the day when we were getting our feet wet. So Chris has been a pretty big help, too.
Yeah, good deal. It was nice to see him out to a race last year. We're going to see him out again this year?
Yeah, I'm not sure what his plans are, but I know he clipped his car and put a lot of work into it this year, and I'm pretty sure he plans to run like a part-time schedule on the tour. Yeah,
we'll have to check in with Chris Hughes. Always great to catch up with him. How's the crew coming together? Who have you got helping you out this year, bud?
Yeah, same guys as last year. Josh Morrison, Dean Livingston, Daniel McMurray, Jordan Gates, and then I got some Jonathan Pollard, and then some family members, Ryan McDonald, my Aunt Gracie, and my girlfriend, Brianna. They're all dedicated. We were actually all at the shop today. Everybody had something to do and got lots done, so we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's the way to have it.
Robbie, looking through your Facebook page and kind of taking a look at your previous racing, one of the coolest cars that I've seen in a long time is that Richard Petty lookalike Thunder car or street stock from back in the day. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Actually, that would be my Uncle Doug's car. I think he ran that car in 2009 in Shediac. He was, he won a championship in PEI, and he wanted to win a championship over there. I think he ended up coming, like, 1 point shy of it. But it was a pretty cool car.
It was, for
that
sure.
That car, actually, it was a Nova, and it actually used to be raced by Darren McKinnon's father, Wade McKinnon, on the dirt, I believe, back in, like, the mid-'80s, the late-'80s. So that old car had a lot of history, and it was actually my first street stock as well.
That's cool.
And we won lots of races in that, and it's a shame. I think the car went to the crusher, but there's lots of stories with that old girl.
Absolutely, there's lots of history sitting in junkyards all across North America, isn't there?
Yeah,
Definitely. So looking back on your racing career, I need a better grasp on you because I've never spoke to you before in the past. Yeah. This is Junior, of course. My dad has for sure talked to you guys quite a bit over, you know, on during the races and things like that. But your career in racing, obviously, it spans back quite a ways, and it sounds like your family is as well. Talk to us a little bit about the history of the McEwen family within motorsports.
Yeah, no, it all started with my Uncle Doug. I think it was 1992. He took interest in it. He was a big fan of Swede Savage, who raced at Indianapolis, and he ran the number 40, and that's where that came from. And Doug ran for years, and I spent every second I could growing up in the shop with him at my grandparents' place. And I'm still racing at the same shop that Uncle Doug ran at us for 20 years, so it's pretty cool to be continuing that on. But I started when I was 15, and actually Doug and I, my first year racing street stock, we actually raced together, so that was pretty cool, be on the track with him, and had some pretty close battles. So,
good stuff. Good stuff. Yep. And the history goes right back, right? You got to have a good history in order to have a bright future, and it looks like you guys are all set for it.
Yeah, I hope so. Honestly, I think this year is probably the most confident we felt going into the season. We made a lot of changes to the car. You know, we found a few things that were keeping some speed from us, so we're pretty excited to hit the track here in hopefully a month or so and get some testing in before the first race of Petty. And we're pretty confident we're going to have the speed we've been looking for. So pretty excited.
Yeah, and that's important, man. You got to be prepared for the season, but it's even better when you find some speed that you left on the table last year and you're going to be able to pull it out and utilize it this year. Is it going to be a full tour schedule for you? Are we going to see you at all the parts for Trucks Tour races this year?
We're not 100% sure yet, but we'll be at the majority of the races. Plus, there's talks of a few extra races. We'll just kind of see, you know, how we're running and how the season's going. And I know last year we were kind of cut short. We had a bad first half and got in quite a few wrecks, had to quit the car halfway through the year. So we spent a lot of last year just trying to figure things back out, and just wasn't the year we hoped for. We were trying to run for Rookie of the Year on the tour, and we came up a little short, but it was really good competition last year, Butcher and Noggle and Stevie Lively. So it was too bad. I think we ended up missing one race. We missed the race in 660 just because we were clipping the car that week.
Yeah.
But we're really looking forward to this year. Hopefully get that first win. If not a few podiums, we'd be happy with that.
We're with Robbie McEwen tonight. He drives the number 40 in the Parts for Trucks Tour. Lives out in PEI. He's got his car ready to go, or pretty close to it. And we're talking 2018 right now. Sure glad you could tune in tonight and meet Robbie for the first time, potentially. But you're going to hear lots about this young driver throughout the course of 2018. Robbie, when you look at Riverside, that's a decent track for you. You've had some good numbers here. You've had some good runs there.
Yep.
We got three big races that are going to take place. How do you attack those races? Do you attack them any different than you do, say, one that's out on the island at Oyster Bed?
Yeah, we do. I mean, the longer races seem to kind of fall into our hands a little bit better because, you know, a lot of times we don't seem to have the speed in practice, but the car always races good. It always, you know, we got good drive in, good drive off, you know. And I feel like Riverside, it's just one of those tracks, just the first time I was there, just something just clicked. And actually, I think one of my first pro stock races, the IWK 250 in 2015, we ended up third. So that was a pretty big deal for us, and really looking forward to getting back there.
Yeah, a typical race car driver, love the speed. Got to go faster, right? You guys just love it.
It's the fastest track, so, you know, love the speed.
And that's the way to do it.
Robbie, we've heard from a number of the younger contingent going and taking a look at the big $25,000 to win Jucasa race over here in Ontario. Have you heard of it? Are there any plans in the works to get you over here onto Ontario soil for that big event?
Yeah, all the boys want to go. We've been talking about it. We kind of got to get through half the season here and see how we're doing. And if the car's in one piece and we're feeling confident, we're thinking about maybe trying to make the trip up. And it'll be pretty cool. I mean, it's a big track. I think it's like 5/8 of a mile. So you'd be like Daytona with our cars. You'd be probably pretty near wide open around there.
Yeah, you would. Absolutely. You would.
Don't try that, though. I've heard from a couple guys that said that thought the same thing, and their brains told them to lift.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. Well, how about sponsorship? You got that 40 car knuckled up with sponsors. How are you making out there?
Yeah, no, we got three sponsors here returning. Maritime Steel, they're our big sponsor. Then we got Phillips Auto Sales and Island Auto Supply. But we're in the works of signing a few more deals with a company out of Halifax and a few more guys locally here. So, you know, we've been pretty fortunate over the last few years to have great partners with us. So really look forward to hopefully trying to get them to victory lane. They deserve it.
Well, if anybody can do it, Robbie, I know you can. We're looking for big season out of that 4D car. I know you got the potential to do it. I know you're going to be one of those guys that I'm going to definitely keep my eyes on. You're exciting behind the wheel. The team does a great job, and I know there's a never-quit attitude in that 4D camp. It's kind of cool to watch.
Yeah, no, that's right. We definitely very fortunate. I got a good group of guys and gals behind me. You know, sometimes we get down in the dumps if we have a bad run, but, you know, Monday morning we're right back at her and trying to improve on the setup and stuff. So if I know I couldn't do it on my own if it wasn't for the team. They definitely stand behind me pretty good.
Awesome stuff. Well, you get that snow gone, get that car done, and get out there and do some practice laps, and we'll catch up with you at Scotia Speed World. I know we look forward to it. The Lucas Oil 150 to kick off the season on Racetime Radio. You guys will be at Petty for one, and then we'll catch up with you at Scotia Speed World and bring it to the world, buddy.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Joe. Thanks for having me.
You want to believe it. That's Robin McEwen, driver of the 4D in the Parts for Trucks Tour. He's going to be a good one, Junior. Watch out.
Everybody that we talk to, huh? Everybody just looking at that Jucasa race.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be like 80 cars there for that.
Well, you know what? It's got the potential.
I honestly think there's going to be a lot of cars coming from different places, and I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, far and wide. And like I've said a time or two before, and I'm going to say it again right now, it's cool when we've got big races right here in Canada to run. That's saying something. We've got quality race teams, and man, it's going to be exciting. The IWK 250, the CAT 250, and that Jucasa race are the three that I have got on my brain. Those three races right there, those are the crown jewels, if you ask me.
And the 250 out in New Brunswick.
Absolutely.
As well. Absolutely. Yeah, 660. Oh, yeah.
So. 660, that's a great race as well.
Yep.
But those three are the three.
Those are definitely the triple crown.
Can't wait to get it all underway. We're going to hit a break. When we come back, it's all open phone lines from here to the end. We got lots of time tonight to take your calls. 888-572-2384. The number again, 888-572-2384. What are you excited to see hit the racetrack here in just a few weeks? Give us a call.
Hey, race fans, this is Jay Dewar, 2010 Sportsman Series Cup champion. Can we redo that?
Yeah.
Hello, race fans, this is Jay Dewar, 2010 Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup champion, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
So, you missed a broadcast.
Well, no problem.
Racetime Radio is available on demand.
Look at it as your listener lucky dog.
And it's free.
Check it out at racetimeradio.com.
Click the day you missed, and you're back on the lead lap.
Hi, it's Eric Alper, host of At That Eric Alper Show, heard on SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167. Each week, I go behind the scenes with the artists that you love and the artists that are soon to be on your playlist. We do in-depth interviews, in-studio performances, fun trivia, and lists that you won't find anywhere else. That's That Eric Alper Show, SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
SiriusXM's Radio Classics has dramas from the golden age of radio.
Shadow Node.
Escape in a sanctum mystery.
From mystery.
I know many strange tales.
Mystery is my hobby.
To sci-fi.
Countdown for blast off.
Adventures in time and space.
Dramas from the golden age of radio.
Evil lurks in the hearts of men.
We're on Radio Classics, SiriusXM 82.
Come on in.
Get your race fix anytime online.
www.racetimeradio.com.
Also available on Facebook.
Just search Racetime Radio.
And as always, you can drop us an email.
info@racetimeradio.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Kenny Chesney.
Everything gets hotter when the sun goes down.
No Shoes Radio is a reflection of my life. Songs from my friends and heroes.
Hi, it's Joe Walsh.
This is Grace Potter.
Red rocker Sammy Hagar here, and I got my shoes off.
And you're going to hear me sing songs with those friends and heroes.
The bus with Stevie Guitar Miller.
Big old jet.
SiriusXM brings you channels you can't hear anywhere else.
No Shoes Radio.
Exclusively on SiriusXM Channel 57.
Racetime Radio is back.
Freedom feeds the hunger. And I'm hungry for speed. Live,
and welcome back, everybody. You know who that is. Larry Berrio. You can check him out, LarryBerrio.com. Awesome race guy. Got a lot of great race tunes. Check him out, LarryBerrio.com. And put a little note to him, say, hey, I heard your stuff on Race Time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a good friend of Race
Time. I had a blast from the past.
Did you?
Yes.
With what?
So, Friday night,
yeah,
I'm sitting out here, yeah, and I'm watching YouTube videos of old races and things like that, and I came across a video that I had totally forgot about,
yeah,
and I posted it to my Twitter.
Did you?
And what it was at Delaware Speedway. They used to have King of the Hill.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
I don't know whether
that.
They still have King of the Hill at Delaware Speedway or not.
Nah.
Probably do. But King of the Hill, they race spectator cars.
Right.
And Delaware was one of the big players with King of the Hill.
Like 10 grand a win or something.
Yeah, they would always put up some good money, and then they would always have a good turnout of cars.
Yep.
And they had they always had this guy called the Grocery Getter that had this sporty, you know, little sports car. And they would always have some big dogs show up, right? They would always have, like, a Trans Am. They would always
Corvettes.
Have an IROC. They would always have, you know, a pickup truck with a great big diesel motor in it. And they always had some fun with it.
Right.
One night at Delaware Speedway, they decide to have King of the Hill. And this guy shows up with this 1998, 1997 it might actually have been like a 95 Chevy Corvette.
Oh, really?
This other guy, young guy, shows up with a Dodge Viper.
Oh,
and
no
it was,
way.
It was a 1998 Dodge Viper.
Wow.
And I remember it like it was yesterday, now that I watched the video.
Right.
But they drop the green flag, they drop the rag, and it's a standing start. They start side by side. They drive off into turn one. The Viper gets the lead. And he pulls away a little bit from the vet. The vet catches him going down the backstretch, goes into turn one. Of course, it's only a one-lap race, right? They start from a dead stop at the start-finish line, take the green flag. They drive all the way around the racetrack, and the first one back to the line wins,
right?
And they advance to the next round. Well, coming off of turn three, in the, in between 3 and 4, the Corvette gave the bumper to the vet.
Or to
the Viper.
Did he?
The Corvette gave the bumper to the Viper.
Wow.
He gets loose, turns sideways, and absolutely smokes the turn 4 wall.
No way.
And to be honest with you, I had forgot that it even happened.
Right.
Now that I watched the video, I was standing there for that. And I was up in the spotter stand. And it was one of the few things that I ever stuck around to watch. And that Viper hit the wall a ton. And I absolutely, you know, it's a self-promote. Go check it out. Because it is absolutely epic.
Yeah.
And if you ever wanted to see what happens to a Dodge Viper if it hit a concrete wall.
Right.
It shows you exactly what happens.
Yeah,
it popped the rear window out.
Did it?
Oh, man.
I'll have to take a look at it.
You will.
You got it on your Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, check it out.
I'll check it out in our next break. That's what I'll do.
Yeah.
Interesting enough, you know, at racetracks, and, you know, everything's going to fire up here in May or let's call it late April at different racetracks across the country. Here in Canada, a lot of racetracks already fired up down south. But what I want to talk about here, just quickly, is some of the sideline shows that you will see or added attractions at a racetrack. Let's talk about some of those. You know, at the beach, back when I owned Sauble Speedway, one of our added value things that we would do for fans is we would have the kids' bike races. And it was a standing start. They go around and do one lap. And memorable moments for those, I can remember. Two things really stand out in my mind. One was the little guys. We had, like, I'm talking, we had age groups set up. I think it was 5 to 8, 8 to 11, 11 to 16 or something like that, or 11 and up. And you would have all these variations. Well, this particular night, someone heard about the kids' bike races, and they brought their two little ones, and I guess they were twins, just little, I mean little, little, younger than 5. So we didn't really have a category for them, but what are you going to do, say no, they can't do it when every other kid is there, and I don't know, we had like 150 bikes show up, right? So these two little wee children on tricycles. So we weren't going to make them go all the way around the racetrack. They'd be dead by the end, right? It's just way too far. So what we did was we started these two by themselves halfway down the backstretch. And the announcer that night was Dave Middleton. And Dave was trying to, you know, like some race fans are going, okay, well, I come to see racing, not kids ride their bikes, but it's all part of it, right?
Absolutely.
So Dave, he gets the fans all wound up and he says, listen, everybody, look it, we got these two youngsters, they came, and look it, let's make their night. As they come out of turn 4 and start going towards the start-finish line, I need everybody in the grandstand, and the grandstand was packed. We had like 4,000 people in the grandstand.
Yep.
The grandstands were packed, and Dave says, listen, I really want everybody's participation here. When those kids come out of turn 4, I want you to scream like it's the Daytona 500 and Dale Sr. is crossing the start-finish line. I really need everybody to really, really give these kids a round and a cheer and everything else. Well, these two little youngsters are paddling their rear ends off, coming around. They get into turn 3 and they're coming over to turn 4. And Dave comes over the microphone and goes, okay, everybody, here they come. Here they come. Look at, and he got them all amped up. Well, the crowd went ballistic. Never, ever have I heard a crowd like that at a racetrack anywhere. They let those kids have it. Well, the kids got scared. They heard the people screaming. They almost went off the racetrack, and then they figured it out. They were screaming for them. And you want to talk about two young children paddling their rear ends off to get to the start-finish line. It was amazing.
Yep.
It was a memorable night. I remember that. The other big one that I remember, too, and it was right along the same lines. We wanted to do an added thing. We wanted to do a sponsor night. And we had grocery stores that were sponsoring the racetrack. We had, I believe at that time,
it was Nectals.
Nectals
grocery store in Southampton.
That's right.
And then you had Kirkland's Value Mart.
Kirkland's Value Mart. We had the one up in Wyerton.
Yep.
We had like 5 or 6. I want to say there was 5 or 6 different grocery stores within about a mile or about an hour radius of the speedway. We invited them to the racetrack. They did a big big barbecue, and they had compliments food, and they did an in-store promo where we were going to get one of the fastest grocery packers from the store back in the day when they had grocery packers, but one of the fastest kids in the grocery store that worked there.
Yep.
And we were going to get them to represent their store. You as a customer would go into your local store, do your groceries, you get your receipt, put your name on the back of it, and enter it into the ballot for that big night at the racetrack. Now, what they had to do was they had the fastest kid in the store, so they'd elect whoever that was going to be their runner,
yep.
And they would bring a shopping cart out. It was full of groceries, and you had the fast kid running and pushing the cart. They had to do one full lap around the track, and whoever won the race, the store that won the race, they got a trophy, but the winner of the race represented the customer from their store that had the receipt, right? So
yep,
that was how the deal was. And they won $500 for the groceries is what Nectals put into it.
Yep.
And it was so cool. It was a great promo. Well, these guys with all the different stores, they were sort of juicing it up, having a good time back in the VIP area like they were supposed to. And now it's halfway through the night. We hit intermission. We're going to run the grocery shopping cart race. And we introduce each store with their cart and their runner.
They had their carts all deckled up and painted up.
Oh, they did them up really
I remember
cool.
Solways, they had their yeah. cart. They had cardboard all down the sides, and it looked like a little race car.
Yeah,
it was cool.
And two of the guys were real competitive-like, right? And they were running like a bullet.
Yep.
They're running along, and they start running into one another with their shopping carts. One guy gets a wheel over the edge of the racetrack, does a full somersault.
Groceries went flying everywhere.
I was freaking right out. I thought, oh, man, that guy could be hurt. He wasn't hurt at all. He popped right back up, got his grocery shopping cart back on the track, and started chasing the guy down that wrecked him. They go across the start-finish line. I can't remember what store won.
It was Nectals.
Was it Nectals?
Yeah, it was Southampton.
They won. They pull out the name of... You know, the person that they were running for, they get $500 for the groceries. Best promo I think we ever did at that Speedway was the grocery shopping cart race. It was a gas. Got the whole community involved. That was a memorable time. But having different things as a added value to the race fans, I think is important. Those are two that I really remember. You remember King of the Hill. We used to do demolition derbies, but it was impossible. It just destroys the racetrack.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, one easy go-to thing, it seemed like back in the day, was always fireworks, right?
Yeah.
And racetracks all over the world, really, they relied on fireworks. And, you know, you've seen some pretty neat fireworks displays and things like that. But really, when you look at overall for engagement, you know, it was really neat to see those two type of events as well. One big thing that I remember was we brought the whole class out to the racetrack from the school that I went to.
Yep.
And they got a chance to drive the school bus around the racetrack.
That's right. Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And they had a cool bus driver, whoever that was, and he sported it up a little bit down the straightaway and squealed
right.
the tires into the corner. And that was definitely memorable as well. Just getting people onto the racing surface means so much.
Yeah.
And really, when I look at the opportunities today versus what used to be back in the day,
right?
Really, when you look at the Rusty Wallace driving experience.
Yep.
You look at the Kenny Wallace has got one as well. You look at Richard Petty driving experience, the NASCAR driving experience. There's a million and one of these things. And I know that there's a couple of short tracks here. Obviously, they do one over at Sunset Speedway as well. There's rumors to be, you know, a similar one at Jucasa as well. And that stuff is so cool because it gets people into the seat of a race car, and whether they go for a ride or whether they drive it, it's pretty neat.
Yeah, it sure is. It's added value, right? And it gets people involved, and I think that's critical. Let's go to the hotline. We got a caller up. Look who it is. Mr. Kent, what's going on, brother?
Not much, boys.
Happy Easter.
You too.
Yeah.
Reminiscing of days of old, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what we're doing. How about added value? Have you? What's the best added value you've seen at a racetrack?
Well, I'll tell you. In our days of street stock racing at Riverside, they always used to run the mechanics race and the ladies' night and stuff like that, which was a pretty good show.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the shopping cart thing.
Yeah.
Now, you picture Riverside.
Yeah.
And you picture starting on the straight stretch, and the finish line is coming out of turn two.
Yeah.
And it was the driver of this car that was in the shopping cart.
Yep.
And each member of the pit crew, whether you had three members of your pit crew or five members of your pit crew, had to get them to the finish line the quickest possible.
Yeah, that would be cool, though, wouldn't it?
So you can imagine going around those high banks and what some drivers might look like.
I don't know if I'd want to be inside it.
We used to see them hanging out the right-hand side going in those bank turns just so they'd stay upright.
hanging the wrong way, right?
Exactly, yeah.
That's cool. Amazing.
Balance, right?
Yeah. It's nice having the added value, though, right? When you go to a racetrack, whether it be fireworks, a lot of racetracks do concerts. That's fantastic, too. All of it is entertainment, but trying to get that sweet spot and trying to find something that involves the community, involves the race fans, doesn't take too long because, you know, the ultimate reason why you paid your coin was to watch cars race and not something else. But I think the added value goes a long way.
Yeah, well, like I say, that's the undercards do that today. You look at last year during the, I think it's the Pinty's weekend when they bring in the four-cylinder class from Halifax to Riverside. Them Hornets get quite wound out going around that track, right, and put on quite a little bit of a show. So.
For sure. Yeah. You touched on one thing there, Kent, that really perked my ears up. The mechanics races and as well the powder puff races, the women of the wives,
yep.
Those two events, one that comes to mind was a mechanics race at Flamborough Speedway, and it was the Canadian Vintage Modifieds. And they dropped the rag, they dropped the green flag, and they used to do a mini series, right?
They did.
Like three mechanics races throughout the year.
Yep.
And one was at Sauble, one was at, I want to say Kawartha, and then the other one was at Flamborough.
Flamborough, yep.
And I remember, like it was yesterday, the guy took the green flag and he ended up blowing a tire and took out like four cars, big
time.
And they wrecked, the mechanics themselves wrecked the cars. And that pretty much put the end to that here in Ontario.
Like I say, we had some rough nights too. Like with our own particular car, we used to like the night of the mechanics race or the ladies' night because then we could see what the actual car could do because our driver wasn't doing nothing. They'd go out and they'd race and they'd be right at the front of the pack, and our other guy, he'd race it every week, and he was like he was out there for a Sunday drive sometimes.
Incredible. Yeah.
One of the things they used to do at Riverside, too, with the six-cylinder class, they used to do the Le Mans start off the front stretch.
Oh, so a standing start.
They right about where the cement wall is for the pit in wall.
Right.
The guys would be up against there, and they'd have to run to the cars and seatbelt in and everything and take off that way. And they, for years in the street stock class, they done like sitting starts.
Mm-hmm.
So right now where you see the starting cone for coming out of turn four for the pro stock class, about halfway between there and the starting line would be the front of the pack.
Yeah.
And they'd be lined up there too wide coming out of a stop start.
Really?
That left to some carnage.
I wouldn't doubt it. Have you ever heard of a hot dog race?
No, I've never seen a hot
dog race. Hot dog race. Drivers are outside the car. They are sort of lined up side by side. The announcer says go. The cars are all parked on the front stretch. Drivers run out, get into the car, belt up, and then take off. They got to do one full lap, come back, get out, and go over, eat a hot dog, finish the hot dog, and that's the winner of the race.
The getting in and out of cars these days, safety-wise, I don't think the insurance would might like
that. Yeah, well, I can guarantee you, places like Kevin and Kankay would probably frown on stuff like that, but it is entertaining.
Yeah. Now, you had Jay on there earlier, and he was talking about all the snow. They must have got it all up there this winter, because we've got none in Nova Scotia, and wouldn't you know, with the first race going to Brunswick, they might need snowplows.
Yeah, that's what Brad Mann was saying. They got lots of it. And now, he lives in northern New Brunswick. Well, it's been great catching up with you, buddy.
Yeah, and like you say, you just got to add to that list that Brad put out. You've got the two King cars. Jeff Foltz has already visited Victor Lane. I'm sure he'll be wanting to get up there. And you got JR coming back. He likes Riverside, so you got to add him to that list for that driver that might come in from the outside and have a chance of that IWK 250.
Absolutely. Well agreed. He will be a threat, I can guarantee it. JR will
be. Talk to you later, boys.
You bet. That's Kent on the east coast of Canada, dropping in as he does. Give us a call tonight, 888-572-2384. We'll hit this break, Junior. It's our final break of the night.
I'll show you the king of the hill.
Okay, we'll do that, and we'll talk some more when we get back, hopefully with you on this hotline. 888-572-2384 is the number. We'll be back. Stay with us.
I feel the need for speed.
From coast to coast, you're listening
to Canada Talks.
Have you got some racing news or maybe a comment?
Well, contact us anytime
at info@racetimeradio.com
or call toll free at 888-5-RACETIME.
That's 888-572-2384.
And for a good time, ask for candy.
Just kidding. That's 888-5-RACETIME.
Isn't that too many letters?
No, one thing I've learned, never, ever question Smokin' Joe.
Yeah, but it's got too many.
SiriusXM has a commercial-free music channel for when you are ready to proudly fly your freak flag.
We're getting loud and crazy. Crazy on Ozzy's Boneyard.
It's hard and heavy classic rock officially sanctioned by the Prince of Darkness himself, Ozzy Osbourne.
I can't believe I got my own channel, man.
Get your AC/DC, Priest, Zeppelin, Iron Maiden, and Van Halen. Oh, and of course, Ozzy.
Ozzy's Boneyard. SiriusXM 38.
Also available online and on the SiriusXM app.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Cook. I have a show on Outlaw Country. I talk like this all the time, and I have not been sucking on helium. I'm an artist, too, and I've been on the road with Merle Haggard. Hank 3 has spun out in my driveway before. The music that you hear on Outlaw Country is put together by humans. It's got a soul behind it. We don't just play Willie and Waylon and Hank Jr. and leave it at that. We like to introduce new artists that are still out there making the music, living this life. My name is Elizabeth Cook, and I'm on weekdays in Outlaw Country, Channel 60, and also on your SiriusXM app. Check out the app. Thank you.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your Victory Lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio wants to help you become a better golfer. Legendary golf instructor Hank Haney is now hosting a daily show offering advice aimed at lowering your handicap and making you the best golfer you can be. Hank has helped improve the swing of some of the biggest stars in the sport,
including Tiger Woods.
And now he wants to do the same for you.
Interact with Hank daily from 10 to 11 a.m. East, only on PGA Tour Radio.
Sirius 208, XM 92.
Or listen on your phone with the SiriusXM app.
Whether it be radio or racing, side by side is no problem for these guys. Let the fireworks begin. We're back to the Two Joe.
We are We're back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in here on Sirius XM Channel 167. Hello to you and to everybody at the PerformanceMotorsportNetwork.com, Gearhead Country Radio, whatever way you're tuned into Racetime Radio. Remember, if you missed the program, maybe you missed some of it, you can catch it all. Just get to racetimeradio.com. And you'll be able to listen on demand whenever your little old heart desires. And you can tune in every Sunday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern at racetimeradio.com. But that's our promo. Junior, I had a look at that link you got on your Twitter. That Viper nailed the wall at Delaware Speedway through that King of the Hill back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. It's ugly.
Man, oh man. That's an expensive car to go out there and play with.
Yeah, well, when you look at it, you know, it's...
Did the guy with the Viper ever meet back up with the guy with the Corvette that stuffed him?
I don't know, but I imagine they went out into the parking lot and battled it out, because
wow,
he stuffed him right in the fence. But,
well, even punching a guy in the head after doing that wouldn't be justification.
No, it was a beautiful race car, or a beautiful road car.
Incredible.
But, no, and another, you know, kind of value add, going back to it.
Right.
One of the things that they did the one night with King of the Hill, and it, bless his heart, it was Cole Powell.
Yeah.
This one guy was undefeated for a long time with King of the Hill at Delaware.
Right.
And so Cole Powell said, well, we just rolled off the racetrack.
Right.
From the late model race. And Cole Powell finished second. Gressel won that night. And he hustled through tech. They passed through tech, and Cole goes, I'm entering this thing into the King of the Hill.
No.
And
entered his race car.
He entered the late model, and, oh, and sure enough, the grocery getter beat him.
No way.
Yeah, so it was, well, obviously, it's tough to get a late model from a stand and start.
Because, right,
like,
he
can't shift through the gears. He only got three of them there. So,
right.
But they dropped the rag, and
grocery getter got him. What kind of car was it?
I can't even remember the car. It was,
I can remember there was a Gremlin, AMC Gremlin. I can't remember what racetrack it was at.
Yep.
But it had like one of those 9-foot CB whips on it. I'm talking back in the day. That thing was a bullet around the track.
Yeah. Funny story. I can say it now because it's, you know, it
totally enough waters different under the bridge.
I bought a Monte Carlo SS.
Yeah.
And my buddies and I, you know, this is back in the day. It was my first, you know, newer style car. You know, I just graduated from my pickup truck, and I went out to the racetrack to visit you and Grandpa. You guys were working out there, and I wanted to come out and show you my car, and the gates were open. Nobody was around. You guys were gone. You guys were down at the beach eating fries, I guess.
Yeah.
And so me and a couple of my buddies were in the car, and I said, let's go see what this thing will do. You know, of course, you know, just young and dumb.
Right.
We rolled through the pit area. We rolled up onto the racetrack. You know, it's a Tuesday afternoon. I had literally just taken ownership of the car.
Right.
I drove it from Reg Nobles to Sauble Speedway.
Right.
And I rolled out on the racetrack. And for everybody that, I used to race a junior late model, and everybody thought that I got all this test time and I got to drive around the racetrack. I never really did.
No.
Right.
Just in your races.
Yeah,
that
just
was
in
it.
The races and practice and stuff like that, but I rolled out on the racetrack, and we went down the front stretch, and the thing went into the corner pretty good, and it stuck, and
right.
Of course, I didn't drive it in super deep the first time, but it stuck really good, and it was a 2002 Monte Carlo SS,
yeah.
And it was like 2004, right? It was only like a couple years old.
I
drove her down into turn three, and it stuck really good. And then that, my confidence went through the roof, and I was like, all right, well, we're going to take this down the front stretch pretty good. And you know, we drove down the front stretch. I dropped it into second so that it was just, you know, I had some engine brake when I drove her in, and I drove her really hard into turn one, and I you know, it's a newer car, so the ABS started going off, the ABS brakes, and you know, it started, the traction control started kicking in, and the stability control started kicking in, and the thing's making all sorts of noise, but it's not turning.
Uh-oh.
And we're going straight for the fence.
Uh-oh.
And I mean, like, we're going straight for it into the turn one fence. And I mean, like, we came within inches of writing this thing off. Like, I mean, OFF off.
Really?
We would have hit the fence hard.
Yeah.
And And I backed it off, obviously, and scared the hell out of myself and ended up driving down the backstretch. We never said a word.
No.
Like, all three of my buddies, right? Like, we didn't say a word to each other.
No.
And as I was leaving the racetrack, you could smell, you know, the brake dust.
You could smell
it. Because
it's a road
car, you could smell it burning.
Yeah.
And Forbes goes, I guess we shouldn't tell your dad that one, huh? No, we shouldn't.
Yeah, that was a good plan.
But, yeah, so... young and dumb stories.
Well, you got to be careful, you know. That's how quick it happens. It happens real fast. But some of the other things that we used to do at Sauble, I can remember one night, our pure stock class, the rules were that you couldn't touch anything in the car. It was literally knock the glass out, put a cage in, and go race.
No camber, no caster,
no camber,
no
nothing.
Adjusting, nothing.
Yep. No springs, no nothing.
8-inch ride height rule.
And some of the guys were, you could tell they were playing with it and trying to dial it in and set it up. And
they're bending their own trailing arms. And they're bending their own lower control arms.
Oh, and heating up the springs and stretching them and doing all kinds of stuff. So I said, okay, guys, I've got it figured out. Here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to run you backwards on the racetrack. And everybody said, what? You can't do that. And I said, yes, we can. You're going to go the opposite way. So instead of turning left, you're going to turn right, and you're going to go the opposite way tonight. And that equalized the field, I'll tell you. The guys that were real fast turning left weren't so fast turning right. So it worked out real good. We did it a number of times, and it was kind of good.
The guys hated it.
Oh, they did. They
but
did. But
the fans loved it.
The fans loved it.
It was the drivers definitely were not game for it.
No, they
weren't playing nice with it at all.
No.
But talking to Paul Grizel actually about that, you know, you're sitting on the inside of the car, the left side of the car, and the wall is on the right. So you've got all that barrier between you and the wall itself. Well, when you spin them around. The driver's side, the wall was right there.
Yeah, you're and, right beside it.
Yeah, and that it was hearing, you know, a couple of the drivers talk about it. They were scared shitless.
Paul would have loved it because he was one of the guys that would won.
Yeah.
He would win.
Yep, for sure.
But not too much time left in the show. If you got a quick comment, please give us a call. 888-572-2384 is the hotline number. Junior, no NASCAR this weekend.
Nope.
It was Easter. Everybody's enjoyed the holiday, but we're back to work next weekend on the short tracks. Where's NASCAR
Texas.
Up to? Texas.
The furthest thing. It's
the fast track.
Yes. Yeah, so fast and tire eater for sure. And you'll see the guys, you know, buckle in and get up into that 200 range again. And
all three classes going to run?
I don't believe so. I think it's just Xfinity and
just the
Cup.
Xfinity and
Cup.
Yeah,
and then the following weekend you get into the short track.
Into the truck stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be a good weekend. Texas
sure.
is always a fast one.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, judging by the speed of that four camp at the mile and a half at the beginning of the year, and then as well, you know, looking at the speed of that 78 car, I think those are the two, you know, favorites to win rolling into Texas. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, with that off week and kind of coming back from the West Coast. Obviously, you had Martinsville sprinkled in there, but coming back from the West Coast, everybody that had a chance to work on their cars now for a little bit longer, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, what Hendrick can do, because they've been in quite the slump here at the beginning of the year, and I think really the entire Chevy contingent has been in a drought since Daytona. So looking at, you know, I think you'll see a little bit of a different picture rolling into Texas, and then we'll see where everything shakes out over the next couple of weeks.
Well, next week on the program, we are going to reach back out to Jason Hathaway. Tried getting Jay on a couple of weeks ago. He had some big stuff he was working on. So I kind of think he may be in line next week on the program. We'll see. We'll see if we can get Jason Hathaway. And, you know, if you've got any ideas that, you know, you want to hear from this driver or that driver, please shoot me an email. Let us know who you want to hear from, and we'll do our best to reach out to that driver or that team and get them on the air. Tyler Case is another one. That's crew chief for Alex Tagliani. We're going to reach out to Tyler one of these nights and get him on this program, and we'll find out how that 18 car is all shaping up. for 2018.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, you know, heading into Bristol coming up, DJ is going to be running that show again. So we'll, I imagine we'll touch on, you know, some DJ Kennington Gaunt Brothers stuff. And we'll have a really good show lined up next week.
Well, we got lots to look forward to. I can guarantee you that. But that's going to do it for Junior and I here tonight in the Racetime Radio studio. Got to thank Susie right here. Got to thank you, Junior. All of our guests tonight, Robbie McEwen and Brad Mann, and, of course, Phil Fowler. Lost him right at the end. But we'll get Phil back on the show one of these nights soon. And got to thank everybody back in Toronto for wiring us up. And we will catch you next week right here on Racetime Radio. Make sure you let your friends know. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. We'll follow you back. We'll like you back. Everybody will be happy. But that's going to do it for us here tonight. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great race week, everybody. Be safe. Spring is here. Summer is coming. Hang in there, baby. Racing's coming. And we'll talk more about it next Sunday night. Have a good one, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.